This is Fresh Air. I'm Marty Moscoane in for Terry Gross. 25 years ago this week, Richard Nixon became the first president to resign from office rather than face impeachment from abuses related to the Watergate break-in. There have been sober interviews commemorating the anniversary and one screwball movie. Dick offers a satiric take on what brought down the Nixon presidency. In the film, two ditzy teenagers, Betsy and Arlene, are unsuspecting witnesses to the Watergate break-in, and on a school trip to the White House, recognize one of the burglars, G. Gordon Liddy. Liddy, played by Harry Shearer, hauls them in for interrogation where they meet the president. Nixon makes them the official White House dog walkers so he can keep an eye on them. In the process, one of the girls, Arlene, develops a crush on him. As the plot thickens, the two girls make a late-night phone call.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. President, this is Arlene.
Oh. Yeah, hello, Arlene,
I'm not waking you.
No. I'm a night owl.
Oh, yeah, what's the deal with that Watergate thing? Do you know anything about it?
Oh, no, absolutely nothing. I don't know a thing. No way, Jose.
Oh, because I live in the Watergate, and one time we saw that Liddy guy there, and then we saw him at the White House, and now he's going to go to jail.
Arlene, is there something I can do for you or your family?
No.
There must be something you desire.
I have to go now. Good night. My sweet prince.
Dan Hedaya plays the role of Nixon in Dick. His name may not be familiar, but his face sure is. He's a character actor who's appeared in many movies and TV shows. He played the indulgent father in Clueless, the B.B. Rebozo character in Oliver Stone's Nixon, Carla's loser husband in Cheers, a detective in The Usual Suspects, and Bette Midler's lout of a husband in The First Wives Club. I asked Dan Hedaya about his reaction when his agent said they wanted him to play Richard Nixon in Dick.
I said, what do you mean? What are you talking about? What, me? Why would they, you know? I said, does the guy know that I'm a Jew from Brooklyn? He says, well, they want you. Think about it. So they sent the screenplay. And I read it and I liked it very much. But it didn't assuage my nervousness about the whole idea of, you know, I didn't want to do something that would be a little silly or make like a comic that's been done so many times. So, of course, the first thing I did, of course, to me, you don't know, but I called my buddy Al Sutton, who's a friend for 40 years. I said, Al, they want me to do Nixon, and what am I going to do? It's, how am I going to speak like that? He says, do it. I said, what do you mean, do it? It's easy for you to say. He's not an actor. He said, do it. It'll be fun. Do it. He persisted. I said, all right, I'm going to do it. I called and I spoke to the director, and I told him again, I reminded him of my heritage and my place of birth. And he said, don't worry about it. And I accepted.
Were you reluctant because you were a Jew from Brooklyn and you didn't think a Jew from Brooklyn could do Nixon?
No. Yeah, well, I was just really the voice, to tell you the truth. To get to speak, in a way that is, obviously, like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not a crook. How would that be? Would that be Nixon?
You need more than that.
I had to do it. So he got me a coach. And he came over to my house and literally within 1 hour, I was speaking like Richard Nixon. I don't know what happened, Marty. Something clicked, and I was irrepressible. People had to shut me up. Something happened, and I had no fear anymore. I couldn't wait to go from scene to scene.
Well, was it a matter of just finding where in your throat you could come up with Richard Nixon's voice?
I don't know if it was I didn't know technically. He told me a few things technically, and then I guess from years of watching and something, I don't know what it is, but he helped me immensely, and you should try it someday. You really get 10 days. I think anybody probably could do it. And
anyone can do Richard Nixon?
I don't know. I'm just saying that it's fun.
Why?
He's got a. It's a kind of. I don't know why my voice. I was able to feel comfortable because that was a very big concern.
Well, this is just a person who has been parodied by so many people, whether they're comedians or played by Anthony Hopkins in the movie Nixon. I would think it'd be a challenge to make it your own.
Well, that's, of course, was in my mind to, just try to, even though it's a comedy, if you extract certain scenes in the movie, they are very serious, very dramatic. Some are filled with vileness and anger. And if you extracted them, they could be from any drama, because I tried to do it in a real way, and try to create something that was not a parody, even though I had a great deal of fun. Some of the sections, like I'm a Jew, and he was anti-Semite. Well, I didn't realize the extent of it. On some of the tapes, he made some vile references to Jews, which, if I saw him in person, I'd want to bang him on the head. And I told the director, I'm not going to say these things. I made one reference because it's part of the history. It was hard. It was agitating.
You're talking about the arrogance and the malevolence of Richard Nixon, but I have to say I felt a kind of sweetness. It wasn't always there, but a little bit of a sweetness in your performance. Am I hallucinating?
Well, no, you're not hallucinating, because that's just, the part that I was referring to is not in any way to be make any kind of apology at all. But I tried to. He was vulnerable, and he was so. I guess the most honest part of him was his paranoia, in a way, and it made him scared, and it made him, sensitive, if you can call it that. He was injured by all these things that were happening, even though he. You know, his actions caused them to happen to him. And I'm sure the man had, he loved his children. And he loved his wife, and he had friends, and he cared for the country, and he cared, he had principles. But that doesn't exonerate him from the bad stuff. So that part of it, you can't just do, make a person who is just completely black. And he was a human being. Mm-hmm. And I must say, there are times when I watched him where I almost felt guilty. But I liked the guy at certain times when I watched him.
What was it like on the set? And, we've been talking about the kind of serious part of Richard Nixon, but this movie is very much a send-up, well, not just of Nixon, but of all the people around him, and in Woodward and Bernstein, who are, of course, hot on his tail.
Yes. Well, the set was completely one of the most enjoyable times I've had, and maybe reflective of that is the last night of filming. We did a scene starting at 11 o'clock, and it should have ended at 11:30. I think it ended about 1:30. The reason, it was Kissinger and Nixon in the Oval Office, and Saul Rubinek is Kissinger. He's wonderful, wonderful. And he Nixon asks Saul, Henry, will you pray with me? And the minute I kneeled down, we had to kneel down in the Oval Office, and Saul would look at me, and I'd look at Saul, and uncontrollable laughter.
Really? You couldn't get
and
through
it
the
went
scene?
On. We finally did at 2 o'clock, and that amount of fun was present through all of it.
That's Dan Hedaya, our guest today on Fresh Air. He plays Richard Nixon in the new movie Dick, which is a satire of the Watergate saga. I want to talk a little bit about your life. You grew up in Brooklyn, in a Syrian community in Brooklyn.
Sephardic Jewish community, in Brooklyn, in Bay Parkway. There's an area on a beautiful block. All the families knew each other, and played ball, and of course there was not too much traffic. You could play stickball, football. I used to spend hours in the winter, throwing the ball up in the sky. I played baseball, and I'd catches, snowball fights, walks, hanging out on the, we used to call it the stoop.
What were you like as a kid?
the way I am now.
Which is?
I don't know. It's not for me to say.
I mean, were you a troublemaker? Were you a quiet kid?
No, I don't think so.
Regular?
I love regular person. I loved sports a lot, and I was not too much of a good student. I was very. They called me actually the first word that when I went to this other school, the social studies teacher said to me, "You know what you are." I said, no. He says, you're peripatetic. That was the first big word I learned.
It's not a bad thing to be called. You're everywhere, right?
You're everywhere. You can't sit still. And so I'm still...
A little peripatetic?
There's a certain element of that. Right. And a restless soul. Mm-hmm. But more calm. But I played ball. I had friends. I was used to go to synagogue and sit next to my father, which was a very peaceful time. He was a gentle sweetheart of a man. He passed away, but I have, very abiding love for him. And my mother just turned 91.
Wow.
And she's wonderful, lives in Brooklyn.
Was your family religious? I mean, you went to synagogue, but was it more than that?
Yeah, we were in the Orthodox tradition, and there was a time when I was pretty religious, the time of about 11 to 16, and then I went to the Merchant Marines, and everything came crashing down.
Well, you said you joined the Merchant Marine at the age of 16.
I went summers. And that was a very... expansive kind of milestone experience, because suddenly you're on a huge ship and you're working amongst men on the deck and the crew. In fact, when I remember I picked up my first ship, a tanker in Baltimore, and when I went there by myself, I was standing on the deck with this guy who they said I was going to live with, big tall guy, I was a kid, and the ship started moving, and the sound of the tugboat, and I was so excited, and I kind of nudged him from my, enthusiasm. I said, wow, we're moving. Now, this is a hardened veteran seaman. He looked at me. He said, don't you ever touch me again. I said, okay. Don't you, that was the beginning. So I lost my, I kept my enthusiasm private from then on.
But did you want to see the world? Was that part of the lure of the Merchant Marine?
Yes. I really, it's an unbelievable, unbelievable experience. Mm-hmm. And I made three trips, and I guess that stirred my wanderlust, which is still today a very strong pleasure for me.
Well, I'll tell you what, I want to talk some more, but first we're going to take a very short break. And our guest today on Fresh Air is Dan Hedaya. He plays President Richard Nixon in the new movie, The Satire Dick. He's also appeared in many other films, TV programs as well. And we'll talk more after a short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is actor Dan Hedaya, and he's in the new movie, Dick. In fact, plays the role of President Richard Nixon. You went to Tufts University, is that right,
mm-hmm.
in Boston? Did you go there to study acting, to study theater?
No, I just went there. What do I mean? In the school, everybody was applying to colleges. You know, you get caught in the frenzy. I applied to two schools, and they accepted me at this university, and I was in college. That was it. And I majored in liberal arts,
mm-hmm.
and then I just finished school. I didn't know what to do. I became a teacher in New York City.
Yeah, junior high school teacher, right? English teacher.
English and a couple of math classes, long division examples. You put about 20 of them on the board and let the kids do them.
So how many years did you teach?
Probably seven.
Oh, wow.
Six or seven.
Wow. Yeah. So you really put in some time.
Yeah. I guess the real turning point is when I started to think about acting, taking classes, because Al Sutton's sister Barbara told me she was taking acting classes, and when I come, it's fun. So I went, and I started liking it again, because I did a few plays in college, and then I, you know, started to pursue it. And then I said, literally, I said, I'm either going to not do it or do it. I decided, yes, I'm going to do it, which meant no more teaching, because you have to free up the daytime for, you know, potential appointments.
So what did you like about acting? What hooked you?
I don't really know. It's hard to say. It's fun. It's certainly a privilege. I think, without getting fancy, it's sort of like a tropism, in the sense of, since I never really planned anything or thought about it as a career, it almost feels like a kind of natural gravitating towards. And then, you know, when you start doing it, it's fun. It's different. It is a certainly a chance for a form of expression. And that's it. And then you're doing it. That's what you're doing.
I'm interested in how you hooked up with the Coen brothers. You were in one of their very early films, Blood Simple. And I don't know, at that age, how many people knew who the Coen brothers were?
I think the Coen brothers knew who they were.
That was about it.
Yeah.
Well, what did you think? What did you think about that?
I really, again, it was, you know, in retrospect, it was a job. They called me and they said, there's this movie in Texas. It's Scale. If Scale means that it's the lowest amount they can pay you, according to the union. But Scale usually means it has some artistic, special artistic merit. That's how they often try to lure you and pay you nothing. So I just went to meet them, and I did meet them, and that was it. And I probably forgot about it within 5 minutes. And then time went by, and I got another call. They want to meet you again, and it was a Saturday. I wasn't feeling well, so I was grumbling about it to a friend. I said, "What am I going to go? It's a Scale movie in Texas. I don't feel good." So maybe it was Al again, but I did. Yeah, I am glad I did. I went and I met them, and they offered me the part. But when we did it in Texas, it was on a shoestring, and many of the kids who were helping in the movie were from the University of Texas, apprentices. It was a completely un-Hollywood experience. Just these two brothers and a nice bunch of people, Fran McDormand, who subsequently married Joel, and we did it, and that was it. Then I didn't even think it would ever come out, honestly.
I think a film that really, if people haven't been following your career, the one that the role that you played that got a lot of attention was The Father, the Beverly Hills attorney and overprotective dad in the film Clueless. And
protective, not overprotective.
I guess it depends on your style. But
yeah, yeah.
It's a great part, though. I mean, he's such a likable guy.
Yeah, protective. He cares about his so many fathers have told me there's when he says to this guy who comes over to take her out, and he's a wise guy. I don't know if you remember, he was a real wise guy. He had this attitude like a punk. And he said, if you don't bring her back on time and safely, he said, I have a .45 and a shovel, and I don't think anybody's going to miss you.
I think those are words that every parent
can relate
to.
I've been dying to say that. .45 and it was a beautiful, funny, it was a beautiful line, but I think also reflects what should be the sentiment.
Hey, man. Nice pile of bricks you got here.
You drink?
No, thanks, I'm cool.
I'm not offering, I'm asking you if you drink. You think I give alcohol to teenage drivers taking my daughter out?
Hey, man, the protective vibe, I dig.
What's with you, kid? You think the death of Sammy Davis left an opening in the Rat Pack? Cher, get in here.
What's up, Daddy?
What the hell is that?
A dress.
Says who?
Calvin Klein.
It looks like underwear. Go upstairs and put something over it.
Yeah, I was just going to.
Hey, you. Anything happens to my daughter, I got a 45 and a shovel. I doubt anybody would miss you.
And that's Dan Hedaya from the film Clueless. You live in New York City now. Move there from Los Angeles. You prefer...
No. Move from New York to Los Angeles and bolted.
And bolted? Back. Why? Why did bolted. You bolt?
Yeah, you bolt. Believe me, you go out there. And,
well, tell and me, tell me.
It's just not for me. It was good living there, but then it gets a little bit lonely. I was broke up with somebody and didn't have too many friends out there. And it's, as my friend Lou would say, it's deadly. So I like to go there now and work and just come back and stay in New York.
Do you go back and visit your old childhood neighborhood in Brooklyn?
No.
No?
No. Mm-mm.
Don't feel the urge.
Although I should. You're right. I'm going to go back when I go back.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Dan Hedaya.
You're welcome.
For joining us today on Fresh Air. Been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Actor Dan Hedaya plays Richard Nixon in the new movie, Dick. I'm Marty Moscowane, and this is Fresh Air.